Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Akev. We have stories to begin with. The first one is about the Gra, who on the streets of Vilna met a individual who he had known in his youth. And the individual went up to the Gra and said, "Listen, you and I, we learned in the same spot. How did you get to become who you became? And I'm really nobody." So the Gra said, "You know the Gemara in Chagiga that says, the person who learns their perek, their section of Torah, 100 times is not the same as a person who learns it 101. He said, I know. He said, "You believe that?" He said, the Gra back, I still don't believe it. I have to fulfill it lemaisa, meaning to say, I put it in the hishtadlus, I do all the work. That's how it happened. Okay, so there's a couple stories about the stipler. The stipler, allegedly, and he was asked on Purim, "Is it true that you, the first time you met the Rebbetzin, before you got engaged, you fell asleep?" He said, "Yeah, it's true. I was tired." He said, "You know what happened? I was traveling, and I had learned, and I was awake, and I learned all night the night before, and I was a little concerned that my clothes had shatnez in them, so I stood the whole way, so I really kind of tired myself out." That's what the stipler said, but he said, "You know what, this is not the first shidduch where the chassan had fallen asleep." So they asked the stipler, "Really?" Said, who else fell asleep during their first meeting with their shidduch aside from you?" And he said, "Oh, I know. Adam Arishon, a Kadosh Baruch Hu made him fall asleep." And apparently he didn't stop smiling. It's a beautiful story. I take, among other things, I think that a combination between a sense of humor and harifus, great Torah personalities is very important for us to maintain our personalities, and to use them. So next story is the famous story about the stipler and the coat, but it's with two ha'aras to that story. For those who need a refresher, the story about the stipler and the coat is the stipler's in the Russian army. He has guard duty on Shabbos Kodesh. So there were not enough coats to go around. So instead, the guard who would have to stand outside would wear the coat. And when his shift was over, he would transfer the coat onto the next guard. So the prior guard was not Jewish. And as Shabbos came in, he put the coat on the local tree. So the problem with that for the stipler was the stipler wasn't going to go into the tree to get it because it was a gezeira. Against Hishtamshus Be'ilan, so he wasn't going to do it, or until he felt, at least until he felt like it was Pikuach Nefesh. When it became Pikuach Nefesh, that could have changed it, but the stipler said, "Look, maybe it will be Pikuach Nefesh, but at this very time, I can do it for 5 minutes, so I can delay." So he did, and 5 minutes were over, and he said, "I can do another 5 minutes." And those 5 minutes were over, and I can do another 5 minutes. And so it went throughout the entirety of his shift, and the stipler never was in a place where he felt like it was necessary to get the coat, and he just took it all, as I like to say, in crumbs. So the stipler apparently, that's not where the story ended, apparently. The stipler would use that story, or used to encourage people to do other things. He said, "Look, when people are learning in Yeshiva Katana, maybe they're used to Seder for 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours. When they're in Yeshiva Gedola, it could be that they have Seder for 3.5 hours, but they come into the Yeshiva and they don't really have the wherewithal, they think, to be able to do it." He says, "Look, it's the same attitude. I'm going to do a little bit here, and if I can keep going, I can keep going. I'll do another 5 minutes, I'll keep going and keep going. I can do another 10 minutes, I can keep going and keep going," and so on and so forth. The same thing, apparently, one of the mashkichim in, mashkichim, I'm trying to remember where it was, one of the Mashgichim in one of the yeshivos where he was in Kiryas Melech. He said to a child who was learning there, a young man, he said, look, he got up to this giant, you know, one of those enormous tosfosim, which they take forever to get through. And obviously this student was overwhelmed. He said, look, I'll tell you what. You start only with the kasha. Get to the kasha, and you find that you can't go any further, close the sefer. If you can go a little further, then go to the first tibbetz. And if you can go a little further, go a few more lines, and so on and so forth, until you see where you are. We're getting close to people starting a newsman in the yeshivos, and I think that it's very important for us to encourage and remind them that that Torah is a marathon, and the way that we do a marathon sometimes is a sprint. If you're trying to win the very last bit, but really the substance of Torah is a marathon. We have to say, okay, I need to push myself, not too much, not too little. But if we're looking at Seder like it's a marathon, then just say five more minutes, or Tosfos like a marathon, just a couple more lines. See where you can go. You can be amazed by what chizuk you can give yourself. The same thing with people in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues. Somebody's biting their tongue, or somebody's trying to remain patient with a child, or somebody is trying to support a spouse even when it isn't convenient. Just say a little bit more, and maybe that'll get you to places that you never thought you would be able to get. A few Divrei Torah. First, a couple Orach Chaims, which I thought were really compelling. When it says Vahaya, Vahaya im Shamoa, says that is the Lashon of Simcha. And his Lashon is Hutnai hi Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Now, part of the mitzvos that we're supposed to do includes Simcha Shal Mitzvah. With respect to learning, this is the famous Avraham Min Ahar in Nedarim, or the Iglei Tal, his Hakdama, let's say that's a part of a mitzvah, or alternatively, maybe it's a separate mitzvah, but in any event, Simcha is the great amplifier of the mitzvah, so we need to make sure that we do it properly. Next, Kol HaMitzvah. Kol HaMitzvah, we see the Orach Chaim gives a very important psychological analysis to give us a little bit more thought for our lives. He says, look, Yetzer Hara has all different kinds of drachim to, all different ways to make you minimize your avodas Hashem. One way to do it is to tire you out with one thing. You're going to be machzik in one. You're going to say, I'm going to do a really amazing job with tzitzis, but then you're going to kind of slip up with others. I'm working on tzitzis right now. I'm not going to do davening. You know, whatever it is, right? Or maybe you're going to do a few. You do a lot, but in that instance, you can kind of start losing steam. And then another way to do it is for somebody who really, really wants to do the most chashuva mitzvos. They want to learn. They want to be gomel chesed, whatever it is. But you know what? When it comes to whatever is perceived as mitzvos kalos. Now, it's hard to tell what people would perceive as mitzvos kalos. Sometimes it's the one with the most exertion. Sometimes it's the least exertion. Sometimes it's the ones which are the least public that people tend to be mavaza. Sometimes it's the ones that they simply don't understand. But whatever is perceived as a mitzvah kala, says, I'm only do work on the chamuros. I'm not going to do the kalos. Says the Orach Chaim. That's why it says kol ha-mitzvah. All the mitzvah, singular. Why? Because you need to look at the mitzvos like it is one single mitzvah and one single body. And then he brings a very interesting Zohar to tie it all together. He says, look, the 248 and 365 bones and sinews, they are there for the purpose of they are there and they receive benefit from all of our mitzvos. And that's why it says, Leman tichyu, so you will live. literally, when we do a mitzvah, it has an influence, a hashpa'ah, on our physical bodies. It gives a chiyus, and that really depends on the mitzvahs we do. So kol mitzvah, treat it like one, leman tichyun, so you will live. And indeed, you will see that, I believe it's Reb Chaim Vital, talks about this in his Hakdam, that's brought in the Hakdam at the Evan Shlema and other places, that indeed this is, the mitzvos really are the mazon ruchni that's supposed to be, doing stuff for us. And that's why, it can have a great influence on us. There's been a mesera among many that, you know, if you have something about your feet, you should learn about feet, or your heel, learn akif. Whatever it is, you can learn about those mitzvahs, and they can even have a more direct connection. So it says, Eretz Asher Lo B'miskenus Tochal Lechem. It says, Shelo B'miskenus. Miskein can mean a couple of different things, but here, miskein can mean like complaining or whatever. Tochal Lechem says, don't eat. Says, there's a lot of mussar here, says the Shloah. Says, don't eat lamale kreso achila gasa. Don't eat to live a gluttonous life, but instead, I would add, he's talking about his tapkus. Rather, you eat kedai lechayav. You eat enough to live, right? You, you have to, be meshaber the ravanus. You need to get rid of the, you need to get rid of your hunger and then just kind of move forward. It says, lobe miskanus. He says, you're not going to be have something to complain about, be upset. But not too much. And then it says, he says, this is also Moser. He says, you should eat and you should be satisfied with whatever you get. Because fundamentally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you all that you need. You need to be like, as the Mesilas Yesharim says, a soldier who's going on the field. And when you're a soldier going on the field, you don't really have time for a 7-course meals. This is not time for any real frills. An interesting Rashi diuk to point out, it says, l'dabir bum. It says, you should speak. So you said, Rashi brings down a chazal. When a child is young, you start talking, teaching them Torah. And he adds another thing, he says, you should teach them Lashon Kodesh. So it's interesting because I started texting my older children who have phones that I can text. In Hebrew. So it's just an interesting thought that maybe we should try to lean on that a little bit more as a ha'ara. And one more is that the mitzvah of Avas Hashem shows up in this week's Sidra. That mitzvah of Avas Hashem, Rashi says that we should do things lishma, not that we're called Rebbe, not that we're called other things, but we do whatever we do. And then it says the sof, Hagul Yavo, he says, basically, in the end, then you'll get what you want. So why does he have to add that part? Why does he add that part? That's an interesting thinking question. And a second thinking question is, we have the mitzvah, the Tav Kabo, says, this is kind of the idea of Halach Tebidrachav, we follow a Kaddish Baruch Hu's ways. Is that for all of the characteristics of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, including Keol Kanov and Okein, or is it only for certain characteristics? And finally, a third thought question, it says in Ches Dal, it says, V'raglacha lo vatzeka ze arba'im shana. So your feet were not impaired. Rashi says, lo vatzka lo nafcha kabatzek. It didn't blister up like bread would rise. Kederach olcheyachav sheragleim nefuchos, like people generally who are walking barefoot. It seems here from Rashi that Bnei Israel, they did walk barefoot, but they just didn't have, they didn't have shoes, but they didn't have the injuries that accompany that. But it does say in Parshas Ki Savo, in Chaf Tes Dalet, V'ulich eschem arba'im shana b'midbar, v'n'alcha lo valsami araglecha. It says your shoes did not wear out. So if that's true, how could they have shoes that didn't wear out if it sounds here like we're worried about their feet that are exposed to the elements? Thank you for learning with me.